Mellon.
Out of field?
Yes, sir. We're hauling them now.
They're really moving them.
Well, we haven't got an extra big force, but we're getting a lot of watermelons. We're going to continue to get a good many watermelons.
Are you running them through the belt?
Yeah, we run them through the belt. We've got a trailer up there we load them to. Got a man wanted some of those Jubilees. We loaded him out. We loaded the old colored fella out yesterday. We loaded him out this morning, and I think we'll still have some more Jubilees to do something with.
The disappearance of ideas and
ideas. Yeah, we got about 8 or 10 acres, something, 7 acres.
Why you put them in here, sort of?
Well, we wanted to try them out, see what they were. And that's more of a watermelon to sell to a kid, I see.
Yeah.
They like something different. They like a solid green watermelon. You know the outside of it.
Mm-hmm.
A striped one.
Mm-hmm. Well,
we're raised on that appeals to you like that, too.
Well, now, let me tell you.
When you was a kid, that's what you had to eat.
That's right.
And your mind is associated with how good it was in those old green rind watermelons.
That's right. That's right. You know what to say.
Yeah, but I got these glasses. and I get so sweaty and they fog up, and you got to see what you're doing when you're cutting them.
I haven't found anything I can do working with glasses on.
Well, they show all pain in the neck. And I can't do any kind of work without them anymore.
Yeah.
That's where I'm all the time.
Well, now, look. One day up there, that wasn't last week, that week before. This week is last week. They had the last melons out of the field in a truck out there on the grade road waiting for the big trailer to come pick them up. They got out there the first thing in the morning. And that whole crew, it must have been a half a dozen of those boys, fellas. They just laid there in the shade all day until 4 o'clock, waiting for that trailer.
I heard you say it. Well, yesterday I believe he lost 2 or 3 hours, anyway. Now, they came up there, they got the melon hauled down here to the trailer. And there wasn't any packing here. They had to wait and wait on the packing. I don't blame the boys out there. It ain't their fault.
Oh, no, not their fault.
And
I don't know who.
The same thing happened at dinner. This boy that was packing out there, he's trying to pack down at McIntosh too on the belt. he left and went to dinner. And they told me to give him a ring as soon as they came to load the watermelon. Well, I gave him a ring down there, and he said he was at lunch and sent him on up. Well, he got out there and he got fooling with. They got him over there on that belt. He snowed under. And he couldn't get right on back up here.
Yeah.
So they sat down here and waited for an hour and a half or 2 hours.
Yeah.
Yesterday and waiting for him to come back.
Yeah.
Well, that cost the man going to watermelon money.
Well, I'll tell you, Fred, as much as
men going $1.25 an hour.
Yeah.
Well, that's four, that's
That's four, five.
That's $5.
$5.
That's $10.
$10 right there.
Probably lost more than that. They must have waited a couple hours yesterday.
Well, now, you see, if they don't wait there, then Robert tells me, I said, well, that's nice to have that belt down there. Then you don't have all them delays. And he looked out there and he says, well, I don't know about that. He says, you just got 2 trucks out there now, not much delay. But he says, the trucks will back up there and they'll stay there all day. And you got a crew of men waiting there to unload them. But you told me, when you sent your truck down there, you just sent one man, and they had somebody
they
there.
They load them down at the belt. They sure.
Well, why would you send a bunch of men down there with a truck then?
I don't send one man down there.
Well, why would anybody?
We worked that thing out slick about a year or two ago. We had 3 darn trucks. All right, we'd send a man down there with the truck. Well, if they wasn't able to unload that truck right then, he'd pick up an empty truck and come on back to the field with it.
Oh.
Load that nut and carry it down there. Well, they, by that time, they'd have this other one unloaded, so he'd just take that and come on back up here.
Oh, that's all right.
We shuttle the thing that way.
Yeah. Well, now, that's just a matter of then having the trucks to shuttle.
That's right.
But looks to me like there's so many ways to lose what you're going to make.
Too late. All the time, in spite of all you can do.
Yeah. Good morning.
I'm not criticizing them, because we've been in the same deal I said.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'll sit down and wait at a half a day at a time with the bike. 7 or 8 men there waiting on a truck to come there. And you can't leave.
Yeah.
The time you leave, then he'll drive up.
Yeah, and then you can't go get your men back again.
That's right. Tied up with another outfit. And, oh, that man said he could just get all the trucks in the world for us. He didn't worry about that. He got the trucks. Well, we messed around and we fooled around. We like lost a crop of watermelon waiting for him to get the truck. We messed around till it started raining, and he finally got you with the darn trucks and couldn't load them in, and it was just a mess from start to finish. So I said right then, well, maybe I'll take a quarter of a cent or a half a cent less a pound from him. But at least I'm going to move.
You
mean? Why, y'all? Well, my wife was there, kids.
That's something. Last time I saw you over here, I don't know what it was, but I got off and I never did get back in that season. I had a one-track mind.
I go over here and see Mr. Woodman. I'm going to got melons almost ready to pick, and I don't know what to buy. We got about 50 acres over there.
58. Well, that's a lot of melons.
You see, me and Mr. Wilkson put them in together, and damn, we got nice melons. Melons are like that.
Is
and
that
we,
right?
Yeah, we got big melons. They'll be ripe for a couple weeks yet. And I had a darn guy made me an offer here yesterday of $2,000, and I think he's trying to cut my darn throat for my hay for the melon. And darn, I think those melons are worth $3,000. They're worth a penny.
How much you got in them?
Good God, there was a little knot sitting there on the porch side. But I got about $1,500 in them. But they're worth more than $2,000. I mean, I got a good stand. We got a good stand of melons out there.
That wouldn't leave you much for your trouble.
No. We got a good stand out there. I just wanted to see Mr. Woods, see how he's coming out on his. See, he's got some over here, you know.
Yeah.
And ours is still growing yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, it grew for another couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I just feel like letting them rot in the field for it, take $2,000 for them. But I know good and well they're worth more than that.
Well, you got into it to make some money.
Yeah. I've lost that much in pasture. You know what? I could use that in pasture.
Yeah.
Beside all them trouble and everything.
You think that's the best you'll do?
Well, I ain't gonna take it. Now, in fact, I think he's trying to pull a fast one on me. The guy that I was in with, he claimed he sold his to this guy here for his hay for $2,000, and I don't think he did. But Dr. Evans, did you know him? The one that used to own that place.
Yeah.
He used to live over Micanopy.
Yeah.
Well, he sold his hay out 1 year for dirt cheap, and then they turned around and sold $32,000 of melons off that place.
Good Lord.
He sold his hay out for $7,000, and the guys got $16,000 out of it. In other words, he lost $9,000.
Now
I think he's pulling the same stunt on me.
Yeah. Looks to me like there's more money in melons, not handling them yourself, growing them yourself, just going around buying up crop.
Well, that's what I think. I think he's trying to pull a fast one on me. I think he's trying to pull the same thing he pulled on Dr. Evans, but I don't think I'm going to go along with it.
Same fella? Same fella?
Yeah. And the same guy went in Hayes and him, and the same guy did the buying.
Yeah.
Bought Dr. Evans and Hayes.
And this fella sold out to him, too?
Mm-hmm.
Same time Dr. Evans did.
He didn't sell his Hayes then to Dr. Evans. He claimed, I mean, to that guy, but he claimed he sold his Hayes yesterday to this fella that does the buying. He's from Atlanta. I don't think he sold his Hayes.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
I think he's trying to get me to sell my hay to him, and he's getting a whack out of it some way or the other, selling.
Yeah.
For getting me to sell him.
Well, you talk to these fellas. I tell you, his brother, Rob. He's a good one to talk to, too.
Yeah, I thought it was like they're picking his melon before I go, and I went back in, but I stopped over there for a minute.
Oh, did you?
And I didn't get to talk to his boy out there, and he was out there picking melon. I wondered if they were really loaded. Talk to the guys loading.
Let me know how you find
it. Collie dog. Just took him to Albany. Oh, she thought the world of that dog. That dog hung himself yesterday.
Hung himself? On there.
Put him in the hayloft. She kept him up there in a barn because, you know, he couldn't stand the sun.
Yeah.
He's trying to, until his eyes got better, she put him up there. And they turned him loose late in the afternoon when it gets sort of cloudy. And she had a boy go up there, the biggest, oldest boy go up there, chain him back up in the hayloft. They gave him too much chain and he got over and fell down in the hay rack.
Yeah.
And hung himself.
Yeah.
And he must have done it right after I was down in the milk yesterday. You know, he was down in the barn.
Well, that's the way the boys learn, I guess.
I bet I had $300 in that stock I sold.
Why don't you get in and go with him? He's right out there.
Come on in.
Call him.
He's right out there.
Come on in. I've still got a little bit of laryngitis. Come
look
on in.
Look at that muscles. Look at that.
Oh, they're so glad to get out of school.
I guess so.
Timmy's not here. He's gone. Come on.
Jimmy.
We're having our party here. We're going to lose some more melons out here.
Yeah. You got big, pretty melons in the vines.
You know, we're up against it right now. We don't know what to do. This man that was in the partnerships with Berman, you know, Mr. Wilson.
Wilson, I don't know him, no.
He's really getting us, backing us up against the wall. We don't know which way to go. What he's doing, so he was willing to irrigate when he could. So he's been irrigating right along. But now, he turned around and sold out his half of the bargain to Mr. So-and-so. He's a big dealer in the watermelon producer. And he takes the melons from here for him. So he sold out his half, and that leaves us holding the bag with ours. And he's definitely agreed that he's not going to irrigate anymore.
Well, we'll just get some rain.
Yeah, I hope so. But they're trying to force us to sell, you see. And Berman says he doesn't think he'll do it. Because what he'll come out maybe $500 to the good. And he went out there looking among the melons, and he said he definitely thinks that they're worth more than that. So, see, we had to get a drag line out there. It wasn't much. It was less than $200 to use that drag line down there. But still, we got that out so that he would be able to irrigate more, you know, easily without having to switch over to the other pond over here. But, oh, it's a mess. I don't know what. Merlin says he just doesn't know what to do. He's wanting to risk to hold on to him for another 2 weeks. And then again, he wants to sell out. Because he's
just
afraid.
Just afraid he won't realize the $500 on him.
Well, now,
about almost $1,000, so that has to be paid whether they get sold or not. So.
What's that?
The fertilized bill. That's about $1,000, or right close to it.
Your part.
That was our part of the bargain, was to take care of the fertilizer, and then he was to break the ground and offer the melons. Then Mr. Wilkinson took it from there.
And he's supposed to load them and ship them?
No, this other fella. Well, that's part of the bargain. This other fellow was to get the market for him. And either we could sell out to him or wait till the melons are sold and get what we thought we ought to have out of whatever they sell for pounds. Have a seat here.
No. Thank you. Shut up. We just...
...here for their party. And let it go with that. But they've been good. I kept telling them, let's wait till after you get out of school. And their birthday was back in April. I didn't realize they were ripe. I went down there 3 or 4 days ago and they're just as green, and I got a whole bag full of them, the refrigerator full. I got the juicy cannabis this afternoon.
I wish I had a good
tomato. Oh, I planted over 200 plants down there, and some of them, I planted them right in the swamp, right where the swamp was last year. And they're just right. Now, the moisture in the ground is just right for the plants. But if we'd have had rain, I wouldn't have had it. We did lose some of them because of the rain, but these on this side are about 150 plants left.
What do they want, those plums?
Those plums up there, those trees, they're not quite ripe yet. They're so bitter. Yeah, those kids will go out there and they'll eat them.
Eat them like that?
They were eating them when they were just barely pink. They can't stand to look up there and see those red plums not eat them.
That looks tempting.
And they're bitter. Now if I gave them a bowl of cereal with no sugar on it, they wouldn't eat that for nothing. That's why they eat those bitter plums.
Yeah.
I planted a plum tree last year down on the other side of the house over here. And that thing's got plums on it that big around. I planted it last year. And this year it's got, oh, it must have about 16 plums on it. Just about that big around. And they're so pretty. It's one of these
We haven't been over here since Mr. Guthrie died.
Oh.
I hadn't seen them, Marvin, Mrs. Guthrie, everybody.
Where's she been? Every time I call, they're not at home, so evidently she's had business elsewhere, you know, to tend to. But she probably had to take care of matters in town. I don't know. And then too, she likes to stay away from the place as much as possible. I suppose I haven't, you know, I haven't really. She comes over once in a great while over here and goes around visiting other places just to stay away from the house, I imagine.
Yeah. Well, now, I saw the car, but I didn't see the truck. Of course, he could have a truck out on the place.
Well, he's probably out in the pasture with the cow somewhere. He's been hauling a few off to market every now and then.
Yeah.
And tomorrow, let's see. No, there wouldn't be any market. He might be around some up to putting up in, though. He's probably just getting ready for market. Monday. Children, get out of the chicken pen! Those biddies out there, they're just like little puppies. They come up and just squat down, you know, want you to pet them.
Yeah.
They're just a little tame. The kids go in there all the time playing. Well, they say they'll hurt them. Tommy doesn't know the difference. And he's just out there just holding up. I hate to see anybody try to do him that way. Berman's just as honest as he can be with anybody, and then to have turn around and have someone to do him like that, try to force them to sell, and we agreed from the time he put them in the ground out there that we would hold on to them until they went to market, regardless of what the price was.
Oh, that was your agreement?
That was our between Berman and us. We hadn't said anything to Mr. Wilkerson.
Yeah, I see.
But now Mr. Wilkerson said, now buddy, he says, I'm going to sell out. He said, I don't know about you, but he says, I'm going to sell out. He said, I'm going to sell out for $2,000. Well, you see, it's kind of funny because all along they expected us to go to the buyer and try to sell them in the field, you see. Well, we didn't do it. And after the last minute, that was only about 2 weeks before picking out there. And now they come to us, Mr. Wilkerson came to us, and he gave a price. Not the buyer, but he gave a price of $2,000. He was selling his part out for $2,000. And he advised Berman to do the same.
Well, he'd make money. He hadn't got anything in him. Wilkerson.
Well, yes, he's got quite a bit of it. He cost him, he said, $50 a day to irrigate for help, you know, moving the pipes from one place to another. And,
he broke the land.
No, Berman broke the land. He got the land ready. All he had to do was come down and bust the middles and the furs and then put the seeds. You know. And he spread the fertilizer.
Berman did?
No. Mr. Wilkerson, he put his fertilizer out. We bought it and he put it out. But Berman did get the ground ready. He went over it three times, I think, in order to get it done.
Yeah, he'd do it right.
Pardon?
He'd do it right.
Well,
Berman.
Well, Mr. Wilkerson tried to say at first that the ground wasn't deep enough. It wasn't plowed deep enough. So Berman went over it the second time. And he said again it wasn't broken plant season. So Berman went over the third time. And then he planted the melons and he told Berman that ground still isn't deep enough. I don't know what he wanted to go to China. But he went over it three different times, I know of. And going over 50 acres that many times with a tractor, he should have had it. And that ground wasn't hard. It had been worked before.
Yeah.
So I don't know why in the world it wasn't done well enough. But let me tell you what happened to my dog. That little collie puppy.
Yes.
Remember Remember we went and took it to Auburn, Alabama because of its eyes?
No.
And it went blind.
I
didn't know about that.
No, I hadn't. We hadn't.
Well, here
known,
about
yeah.
4 or 5 months ago, he was chained up outside here, and something bit him, stung him or something, and he started going blind in one eye, and it spread to the other eye. And his eyeballs just stuck out. Well, I had been taking him to the veterinarian, and they'd been giving him shots and working with him, and they kept getting worse and worse and worse. So Dr. Beecher said, your dog's going to go blind. Well, I had worked with him among those cows until that dog knew every cow that was out there, and he was working just wonderful, and I hated to lose him.
Oh,
he was just
my.
A year old.
Yeah.
So I kept going back and forth to the vet with him, and he said, your dog's going to go blind. He said, there's nothing more I can do. And I said, well, can't you suggest anything? And he said, take him to Auburn, Alabama, and they'll cure him if it's all at all possible. So I got in the car and took him on up to Birmingham with me. We went up to Auburn, Alabama with that dog. I'd never seen it again, but I went to Auburn, Alabama with the dog. And I left him there, and I never expected to see him again. And 2 months later, they called me on the phone. They said he could see, and he was well, and his eyes were just as perfect as they were the day he was born. Well, I went up here after him, brought him back, and we were so thrilled to death with him. And I got some salve, some of this ointment, and it continued to doctor his eyes, so it kind of turned for the worse there for a while. And then it was getting better again, and it was almost cleared up. And yesterday I went down to the barn to turn him loose for his exercise, and I noticed he didn't bark when the children went off to school. And Johnny had taken him loose and brought him down here on the chain, and taken the chain back yesterday and the day before, and chained him back at the barn, and he gave him too much milk to the chain.
Yeah.
Well, what are you going to do, just let him sit there?
No, he said I can sell them over here at McIntosh over there. He said they'll buy one I got over there if they want it.
Okay, well, my office is saying that there's some buyers over there that knew more about it, I think. Get one, though, and put it out there.
Them minis are getting big. Pack them
out. Well, those are these snakes that crawl in there, you know. I'd like to.
Hello, Mrs. Wilson? This is Dodd at Cross Creek. Did Mr. Wilson fix me up any eggs? I just thought I'd try to catch you in time.
Children.
I was going all over the field out there, and I don't see the first time any coons. And, might be a good idea just to make me up any, and the eggs just lay there in the room. So tell him not to make me up any, because I haven't seen the first time any coons out there since we put out those other eggs. So I don't think it'd be any use putting the eggs out right now. Well, he told me to drop over about 4:00 to try to have me some eggs ready. Now, I don't know whether he's planning on coming home at dinner time and fixing me up some or not. But if he does, tell him not to fix me up any, because I don't think I'm going to need them right now. Because I believe if we put them out there, just run, nothing get any of them. Maybe some crows or something like that. Yeah, it's looking nice. Yeah, really growing out there. Mr. Wilson will tell me that he sold his part to this other fella. What is that other man's name? Horn. I can't remember his name. Lee Horn. Huh? Well, that should be the most exciting part, shouldn't it?
You don't know Mrs. Wilson. She's a bird.
Is that right?
She's a corker.
Yeah.
Well,
Mr. Wilson,
I thought they lived up to a
door shell. I
thought they lived up to a door shell.
No, they don't over Wilson. I'm surprised you don't know.
Yeah,
they're big farmers over there. He's one of the best farmers around, but I can understand why now.
He's
a dilly.
I done gone this far. I guess, another couple of weeks off, and things are ready to go. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and two and on the other hand, it might be looking for it. Tell him my phone and tell him that I don't believe I need none right now. So there's no use me putting them out right now, I don't believe. Okay, bye. She said she wants me to sell, too.
Yeah, they're wanting you to sell in the worst way.
Mr. Woods, I want to talk to him. And he said he sold a bunch of culls over that weighed from 8 to 15 pounds, which isn't about half as big as that one. He said he got a cent and a half a pound for them.
Yep.
He told me he thought I'd take a skin on. He said he hauled out of the field out there in one day. He hauled over $1,000 out of that one field on us out of Guthrie's in one day.
I think we'll find another buyer.
I'm just gonna wait. Unless he wants to come up to a better price, I'll just let him stay out there and rock. Just the way I feel about it. Just sit out there in the field. I'll just put him right down the middle and say, all right, this is your part and this is my part, and you take yours and do what you want with
them. I was wondering how you're going to have it.
Yeah.
We'll go through that. Put every melon in the half. This is your half and my half.
That's what I do. Go ahead and take your half.
But you know, I never had.
Well, we have agreed from the time we planted these melons out here to wait till they go to market.
Doggone, I waited this long.
Yeah.
I've gone this far. I might as well just wait another couple of weeks. I sure wish we'd get a little rain on it. It's helping out a lot right now. I'm afraid they might get some sort of salt on the end if we don't.
Yeah.
But he said, this fellow, you know where that hardware is over in, right there on the railroad there in McIntosh?
Yeah.
You know, there's a depot there with this whole melon. He
yeah.
said, that fellow there, I'll buy every one I got.
For how much?
Well,
the
prices are different, honey. He don't know what the price will be 2 weeks from now. But I believe it'll be better 2 weeks from now than it is right now. I just can't believe it.
Well, this just now, it is watermelon season. I mean,
yeah,
until just, now, I haven't worn any watermelon.
Just not warming up.
And up north, you know, they've had all that cold weather. They haven't been buying
See, the water. Whole thing is, if I harvest them now, I got to pay someone to harvest them.
Boy, oh boy. That's scary. Just look at them go piping out.
No, I'm talking about if I take my hay, if I still got to harvest my hay.
Yes,
I do. No matter how you figure it, I got to go out there and pick them.
If you sell out, your hay.
You know, well, I don't have nothing else to worry about. But I told him, Wilson, he's going to come up with more than $2,000 even in my hay. You don't want that much into the thing.
You know how?
What difference does it make to them? Mm-hmm. He said he claims he got $2,000 out of his hay. I don't believe he sold his hay. I still think he's those half as his.
Yeah.
I said, don't believe he did. He claims, too, though, he had a big patch over here of Jubilees over at Windsor. He claims he's already sold half of that to this guy.
He's too much of a businessman to take the wrong end of the stick.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing.
I'll just leave him alone if I gotta get.
Oh, no, it's not
5-10 pounds yet.
They're just as green.
Well, a little more water, they sure would.
Yeah. If it rained, so good enough, the rain going on. Yes, it rained all around it. Rain, good rain there in Gainesville.
I stood out here and I watched the rain falling all the way around us. We were right in the middle of the sun, we shining right here.
All the way around us, too.
Yeah,
especially when you got something out in the field.
Sure wish it was rain. You get about 1-inch rain out there, sure do a little world of good.
Mm-hmm. The poor cows, they need some green grass out there.
Grass is good.
So you haven't seen Mrs. Guthrie, Bobby,
no,
too
sir,
much?
No, sir, I haven't. They've been over. She was over here, when was it, about 2 weeks ago?
Yes, my God.
It's where I came down with the virus. And, stay a little bit and visit with me. That's the last I've seen of her. Marvin came over one day and borrowed his fertilizer spreader. That's it.
Yeah, I think he did that.
Yeah, I
haven't
seen
it. Well, since he's gone, they don't have anything to do.
Yeah, that's right.
They're clearing up that the road down. That's that where Marlo lives. They got clean up. You know where Marlo lives?
Yeah.
Between her, where Marlo and Mrs. Gleason lives, they clean up all the goats back in there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the bulldozer is sitting over there. They pushed up a lot of stuff back here, and the bulldozer is sitting there.
Oh, that's the different place, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's which?
She calls it the Denim Place. That's who she bought it from, I think.
Denim Place. Yeah. Denim. Denim Place. Well, you know the name of that place next to him where Freddie's got his melons? That's the Andrew Jackson Place.
It is.
That's the old Andrew Jackson Place.
Yeah. Yeah, but there was some Jacksons, too.
Our children grew up the same time, hers did.
Well, I was a flabbergasted. When I went to school one day to get some work for Johnny, he'd been out of school, and I met his teacher, and she was born on this place. She was born right out here in this old house that used to be out here, a two-story house. And we told her we lived across the creek, and she said, "Well, do you know where the old Pollen place is? They call this the Pollen place."
What?
Pollen. All Pollen.
People used to own it. His name was Pollen.
P-O-L-L-A-N-D?
I don't remember. No, I didn't spell that way.
P-A-U-L-I-N.
P-A-U-L-I-N-G.
I-N, I think.
Used to be a great big two-story house sitting right out here. It just used to be the main road, about right where my car is sitting. Used to be the main road to go into the Macintosh to Hawthorne.
Oh, really?
Used to be a dirt road. That was before they put the paved road in. It came up to this wooden gate here, came up to here. And then the road came across creek, came right down the same road here, came right out here, and they both forked right out here and went to Hawthorne.
You know this house here, say, this is a shed.
Yeah, very
sure. They live in a shed there.
Yeah.
Egg house.
Right there over there. Mm, and we used to count all these windows in the house.
There
was no windows in there at all.
There was no windows in here at all. Just a
whole
air conditioner.
Berman, what's happened down the state? You still got your...
Yeah, I still got everything. Just dead as a doornail.
You decided not to move it. Trying to move it.
No,
for a while.
We put a sales line out there. We took it away from that real estate man.
Yeah.
He's doing nothing. We figured we could do equal.
Yeah, but you went out and did the right smart work.
No, we was going to, but we didn't.
Well, you fixed that doorway and tell you there on the front. That's about all.
Thing needs
repaired at it.
We gotta go down and paint everything up again. Make it look
that paint won't last.
We decided going there for a while not to try to sell it because the real estate down there is starting to rise quite a bit because of the Disneyland property.
Oh yeah.
We thought, well, now we'll just rent and or lease it and hold on to it a while.
Yeah.
But we haven't even found a renter, or at least we'd like to take it. They want to put a junkyard out there, and we've had
a lot
of people.
One guy phoned the other night, he wanted to put a junkyard out there. I didn't want a junkyard there.
It's right on the highway.
Now, if he wants to buy it and put a junkyard up, that's his baby.
Yeah.
And I'm not renting for a junkyard. He didn't want to sell no gas, but he wanted it for almost nothing, I think. He figured since he wasn't going to sell no gas there, I'd just take the tanks out and everything and let him have it for his prize. I don't know what his prize was.
Yeah.
I wasn't interested in his price. I'd never seen him.
Yeah.
I didn't know what junk started. I was under around there. Cars just barely could get in to get gas. You couldn't even see the station for the junk cars sitting out front.
Oh.
Finally, we just, when his lease was up, we just put him out. He wanted to stay there, too. Boy, he's dying to stay there. He didn't like it. He made him move.
He wants in there now. But
he wants back in there.
But he won't pay him.
Out in the junkyard there.
He won't pay you. Won't pay you.
The last two, he paid up all right, but it was
CLOs
drawn out of him.
Yeah, they supposed to pay that last year's taxes.
Yeah,
he
got away with a lot.
Yeah.
There's one man in New York that was interested in it. We answered a letter here last week, and we still haven't heard from him yet.
Mm-hmm.
What are you children doing?
Yes, they're going under the grave.
He left right before I did. I thought he was coming over his patch when I told him I'd be over there where there's loading melons and went over there, and he wasn't there.
Well,
that's in the same as the woods here that is in Evanston.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Him and his boy.
Where did the melons
He and his son, Freddie.
Yeah,
oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So, I followed him on over at that melon patch, and I thought I was following him, and I don't know where he disappeared to.
Well, he's the same one. Is he the same one? He has cattle, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Light-colored
Hereford.
Yeah.
I wonder if he's the one that buys our cows at market when we took them.
No.
It has woods on the slit there.
No, you're thinking of someone else, not woods.
Neat buyer.
But, yeah, he was going to come over here. I think what else is white over there?
You like tomatoes?
Yes, but you don't need them.
I'm back out, but I ain't gonna mess up no more. I get a bulldozer back in there.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get a bulldozer back here for a while. Do any more. It's just too hard on a wheel tractor trying to do that kind of work.
Or is it? Yeah, I think so.
I need a bulldozer in there.
You know,
doggone, you can tear it up. I've busted my tractor in a place or two over there and had to replace part. I guess it cost me about $2,000. It cost me at least. He said I busted on a tractor, so I'll replace it.
Yeah.
Plus, I can wait 2 days' work putting it on.
Yeah. Well, now.
He got much money on a bulldozer, and he could clear it up 3 times what I did.
He could.
He could have cleared up at least 3 times what the work did, 3 times the work I've done.
Yeah. Well, that's what happens when you start to economize.
Go get it out there and well, you figure, well, I'll.
And there it goes. That gas.
No.
Oh, it's quiet.
Everybody went to Candle Field.
Oh, they're working up there this morning.
Well, man, one about 1,500 loads. I don't know where they're going to get them or not.
Somebody's going to push them together.
You better go by and get you some.
No, I'll wait till the end of the season. Nickel a piece?
I'd get 15 cents from
them. Oh, that's fine.
You have a lot of trouble when you sell these little guys, you know. I sold a fella the day some loaves 15 cents, 50, and then he said, well, you take the bounce on them. I said, 10 cents a piece. Watermelon, 40 cents, which that wasn't less. He says, you know, says, I lost money on them cantaloupes. I said, I still got 7 of them mountains left. Lost any money on them, but I don't see. But we can get a quarter of him, and the rest of these slickers with him. Well, you beat them, huh?
Yeah.
Well, if he pays 15 cents, I might you get about 35 cents from
him. Yeah.
A big, nice note.
Yeah. Let me ask you something right quick.
Yeah, I know him.
Yeah.
His brother, I saw one of them got found dead down in the California. He jumped off his truck and made a fortune down there, and then he got in the watermelon business, and he lost. Lots of money, his brother did. And this Wilson over here, Buddy Huff, been doing business with him for 10, 15 years over there. And old Dick Whitney, they can tell you right quick about it.
Yeah.
But I don't know too much about it.
Yeah.
He went down there with old Bob Beck at Orange Lake, run that garage one time. They went down and farmed together.
Yeah.
I don't know. Bob lost $15,000-$20,000. I don't think Bob ever paid all that. He paid $15,000-$20,000. I don't know what Wilson lost. But this over here, he's been doing pretty fair with water running over there.
Yeah. Well,
he didn't have a place Doc Evans did. If some Doc sold that place over there, somebody. Yeah. I've heard lots of them. They get in an argument over who's going to handle them or something. And man sell his half, another fella sell his half, something like that. I was
yeah.
Arguing.
Yeah,
do
like that.
You know, Buddy Huff over here, he'd always been slick. You know, he don't like to put out too much money himself. He lets these old farmers go out and buy all his Buddy, and he says, now I'm in a tight, and I got to have some money. So Buddy goes down and takes money in that crop. And he'll lend a man $4,000-$5,000, like the Cole had 1,000 acres over here in Dunella. And he put all the money up. People he owed did, and then Buddy slips in there, and then the man he owes for the fertilizer, he can't get nothing out of him because Buddy's done made him some money, and he's taking the first mortgage on the crop, see? Buddy goes,
yeah, but I tell you,
Buddy gets his money back,
I
the other man.
First, that money he owes
That's where Bud Huff is. It's
where kids see.
I'd get my money first. I put the fertilizer out there to make that crop with.
You think you could?
I just don't know whether you could or not, but I'd stand up there and I'd bow up to him. I'll tell you I would.
To the
crooked deal. I don't like crooked deals.
I don't even like to hear about it.
It
makes me sad.
Takes
me a week or two to get that over.
I get the shaking all over.
After I hear about it.
Henry, you going?
But you know, sometimes I it seems to me.
No. I tell you, my daddy used to be a big farmer here, and as long as William Christian had the produce business, you could walk in here that morning. About 9:30 and say, well, Miss Christian, what did my score sell for?
Some.
What? Last night or yesterday. And he'd reach back then, he'd get that telegram, and he'd say, Miss Thompson, your score sold for $10.
It's obvious.
Room might be standing right there, and he'll say, well, what did mine sell for? He says, he hands you the paper, and you can see the telegram. Yours only sold for $3. Maybe my daddy sold $5. Or maybe that man sold for $5 and my daddy's $3. But daddy said he didn't make no difference. He didn't get but $1. He just liked to see it.
Mm-hmm.
My daddy's kind of like my daddy in that line.
Well, now that's
my mama was that kind of happy to go lucky. So sorry for if you couldn't meet your obligations, you know.
No sense.
But my daddy.
It looks to me like one of the hazards of being in the produce business and handling all this stuff here is all the farmers that sell to you, if they don't get the top price, they won't know why and all. And unless you can tell them.
Well, I'd like to know why too. I'm just funny that way. Hello.
Hi there. How you doing?
All right.
This is my nephew and his wife.
How
Elvin
you do?
Elvin and Lillian Palmer.
Glad to know both of you.
This is Lee's son.
Well, business and melon business, that's, I don't know. I take strong constitution.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. We'll raise the squash down there, and we'll pick them, and we'll put them in that cellar down. And I know that Buddy's getting so much a crate for them to put them out. He's charging, because we're paying it out of our squash. And he gets his. And he has to struggle a bit to get it. But he's not willing to say, Henry, now, I know that you haven't made anything, but I'm going to split my profit. See? Henry didn't get his. Why shouldn't Buddy get his?
That's what I wanted all along. But the bankers always get theirs.
Yeah, well, Henry didn't get his. Why should Buddy get his? I tell you, it's going to be a bad. You go out here, and Naval Orange, you can buy them in by $2 a box. I mean, when they were there. You know what I paid Buddy for Naval Orange? Paid him $4 a box for them. You know why? O.D. Huff. That's it. Now, don't get me wrong. I like Buddy, and I'd fight for him. But he knows that I know. Buddy was the best man at my wedding, and I sure fight for him. Buddy knows that I know. He knows I know. My daddy wouldn't let him ship nothing. He'd go up there and he'd ship his stuff through Buddy. He tried it. My daddy tried it. And Buddy, he'd go up to him. Buddy said, what am I supposed to bring? He says, Miss Stumps, I don't know yet. He's waiting until he gets all shook down, gets all sales, gets them all shook down. And he's going to miss Mr. Smith so much, and Mr. Bird so much, and Mr. Brown so much, and Mr. Tom so much, and Mr. Jones so much. That's how much we're going to pay him. He has to get the pile shook down. And my poor daddy was one of those poor farmers. Now, there's a black eyed bee right there.
Mm-hmm.
He's something else.
Maybe they're not quite grown.
That's the way I like them. It really tastes good, doesn't it? Six and third.
No, the rain's bad enough. Dry weather, that's bad enough to have to worry with. And then when you got...
Mr. Huff has never said his sister sent the basket over there that he gets at him. Us yet. And I'm so glad to see Bill then filling his own watermelon. Oh, Lord. Not depending on Buddy Huff for darn thing. He took our melons last year just for letting me down here and rush our walk up. They took our melons. And we did struggle to get them in here to him. Bill fit two... 1 3/4 and 2 cents pounds is what now. 1 3/4 and 2 cents pounds is what now.
Well, now that'll pay his fertilizer pretty well.
It's about to come out.
He's about to get out and make the money.
You mean he's already about to come out? And now if he can keep on,
yeah,
he'll make a little money.
If he'll have a good week next week, as good as he's had this week, we'll be smiling.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that's a farmer's smile. If they spend $500 and they get $499 back, they'll smile.
Yes.
Sam Poole. That's what they are.
I know.
You got one in there.
I brought up on it.
Last Saturday afternoon, he announced to me that he was planting an eggplant bed. Nice. Nice. Woo! And he told his boys, he said, your mama really turned wrong side out yesterday afternoon. He said, she found out we were fixing to plant an eggplant bed. I said, she don't like it. So my son says to his daddy, he said, well, he said, why don't you just give her that $100? We made $100 of squash.
Oh, a whole $100.
Mm-hmm. And I said, that $100 didn't pay for the dirty clothes you dirtied up and the dirt I swept it and the mud I cleaned about it and the extra work I had to do at the store for you. And all the squash being brought in here thrown on the work. It brings more work in here on me, you know. And I said, that $100 wouldn't pay me for that. So he comes that Monday morning with $100 in his hand. And he said, here, he said, Tommy said, give you this. So you keep your mouth shut and let us plant eggplant. I said, I ain't promising anybody to keep my mouth shut. No, sorry, I'm not. I said, I'll take that $100. And I said, I'm going to say what I want to say.
What do you know that shit? When he not out, see?
He done knock off?
Yes, he ain't wake today.
No.
He must have been shut up there.
Well, Mr. Henry was there.
And
34. He's been up, him and maybe was going wrong.
35. Cucumber or something like that.
Yeah.
Because mostly they planted steak tomatoes. They were planting ground tomatoes on the possible route.
Ginsburg. I didn't want to go, but shoot, like everything else, I got to do things I don't want to do.
Looks like the week ought to be pretty well along by now.
Shoot. seems to me that real estate is 36 hours a day and 8 days a week.
Yeah. The weekend, I guess.
People are supposed to be up here from Fort Lauderdale all day today.
While you're on your way now, Roberts, I've got my little machine with me, and I want to hear about house exploding.
House? Which one was that?
You're at the steel.
Oh, down there. Some evening, let's get together. I'll make a date when you will come over.
No, I don't need the whole evening. Just a minute.
So, well, what that place down there was where the 440 wet road is there now, right beyond those pecan trees. Is that right about where the middle of the road is? A wonderful well down there. It was a two-story house just like this.
Uh-huh.
And I wondered why a lot of the foundation blocks were still there and some of the old, they put these houses up on live oak stumps.
Because we...
Yeah.
Some over there now.
Yeah.
And they made what they call blocks.
Yeah.
But they're only really live oak, pieces of live oak cut in certain heights, 18 inches or 2 feet high.
Yeah.
Lay them on the top of the ground and then put their sills on. So some of that was there. When we bought this place, you could stand where that truck is and you couldn't see this barn. And the soil conservation man, head of that down in Forest Hall down in Ocala, came here and he went down that way with the tractor. He said, do you know where the corners are? I said, no. He said, well, let's find out. And he spent 2 days trying to find the corners. And going down there, he ran into this hole where this whole house was. So as we got cleaned up around it, the glass had melted, and this old broken pottery had burnt and cracked, but the glass out of the windows had melted, and they're on balls. And some of the glass that was in the house inside, like the, for tableware and dishes, that had melted. And I just, well, it'd have to be an awful hot fire to melt that stuff the way it was. And some of the roof that had been on it had just looked as if it had been in an open hearth furnace. I kept looking at it and pick it up every now and then. So old man Hannah lived down there where his widow still lives. So one day I asked Hannah, I said, "Mr. Hannah," I said, "was there an old house here?" He said, "Yeah, there's an old house there, John Murray's house."
Mary.
Mary.
M-E-R-R-Y.
Mm-hmm. Same as Mrs. Mary up here. And, you know, the Murrays were big landowners around here.
No.
They owned a lot of land here, the three of them.
Oh,
and now, what's her name? Little Mary's still up in town there. She still lives there. They used to live in that house where Harry Evans lived, and he sold it to this Judge Connell. That was the old Mary property, and they owned all that stuff out in the lake and around.
Mm-hmm.
The other Mary family owned this back there, and Mary's sister owned this strip right straight through here. So they, I asked Hannah about this house, and he said, "Yeah, there was a house there, a two-story house." I said, "Well, burned down?" He said, "Yeah, burnt. It must have been awful hot." He said, "Hot?" He said, "No wonder it was hot." I said, "Well, what was it?" He said, "Well," he said, "old man Boyd," he said, "down here, had to live there, he and the kids." And he said, "He had a still." He said, "Still was on the second floor back." And he said, underneath the house, he said he had all the alcohol, he said all the moonshine and 5 gallon Dimmajohns or cans. And he said, well, the still exploded on the second floor, and he said they got out, but he said when it caught on fire, he said that alcohol underneath the house, he said, sure, that exploded too, and he said that made a fire, he said, that was hotter than anything. So no wonder the glass is all melted. So that was the... what happened. I'll tell you another one. You know, Judge McDonald just died, and they buried him this morning. The old judge. Harry McDonald died Wednesday. He's buried this morning. All right, Boyd had a still back here. That was brought up today at noontime. Saucy knew about it. He asked me if it was still there, and I said I didn't know. But the old man had a still in that island out there in that lake. You know, there's a pond or a lake out there. And he had a still out there. And the old lady, she'd guard it, his wife. And she'd guard it with anything she could get, a broom or a shotgun or whatever happened to come along. But the funny part was that the judge had one of these people from around here working for him as a secretary. And every time somebody go there for a search warrant to come down here and get Boyd's still, she'd phone down here and get somebody to go out there, or phone down there if they had a phone. She'd get word to them right away, see, so that they'd guard the still or get rid of the evidence before the people from Gainesville could get the doggone warrant, search warrant, and get down here to get them. And if they did get here, they couldn't get out on the island because that old lady, they wouldn't bust it by her. But they did catch it, I believe, once. I don't know. I never heard of them catch it. They say it did.
But they weren't very strict at that time.
Something.
They
The doggone fool thing. He was remarking about that car. A darkie used to run the booze, and he had an Oldsmobile, and he had helper springs on. He'd come up, and he'd go through that lane there. And there's a bump there. I can take you out and show you that bump. Every time he'd go boom, I mean, that doggone body hit the axle. So one day, he went through here, one Friday, he went through here and made 8 trips. And he was loaded down heavy. You know, that stuff weighs about 42 pounds for every 5 gallons. And he was loaded, even with those helper springs that hit bottom. And he lived down in Boardman. He's dead now. But anyway, he came through here one day with 8 loads of it. And the next morning, I happened to be remarking to a businessman. I said, "Boy," I said, "that J jig from down there at Boardman been running shoeing, doing a land office business. I went through there loaded 8 times yesterday, and I said, he's already gone through once this morning. He said, he has. I said, yeah. He said, you say he's loaded? I said, sure. I said, I can tell he's loaded. I said, boy, he's sure putting out the moonshine. He said, boy, I said, that's unusual. He says, making 8 trips. I said, yeah, he made 8 yesterday and 1 this morning. You know, I never saw him after that. The guy I was talking to owned a car. The jig was running for him.
Is that right?
You never know who you're talking to.
Yeah. Look, I thought they had lived out there from the year one.
Oh, no.
They lived around other places before they moved out there.
They were more or less squatters out there. In fact, this piece on this side of the road, I don't know whether... They claim they own it. I don't know who owns it. The old man, he's, of course, kind of dotey, but... No.
They haven't been there forever.
No, they lived right here for a while.
Well, there's an old house there behind that new
that's
one.
That's where they lived, in that old house.
But they didn't necessarily build it or anything.
Oh, that old house?
Yeah.
No.
Isn't that long?
When this thing burnt here, then they moved out there and squatted in that house.
Is that right? Well, they lived close then. He told me the year and the day he came down here, and I forget when it was.
He's a character.
He was... He remembered just to the day, of course, when he got here. But,
He's a character.
He didn't talk about that. Robert, who was this, the old colored lady?
Frances Pursley.
Frances Pursley. Now, who is this young G.W. Gross that lives there?
Oh, that's her grandson.
Did he live in the house?
Sherelle Gross.
Huh?
Sherelle Gross.
Sherelle. Well?
That's her grandson.
Well, now, does he live in the house that she built?
No. Her daughter, Plummy Williams, lives in the house. You mean block house?
Yeah.
Yeah, Plummy lives there.
Well?
She got another daughter there, living there, too, now. I don't know, 5 or 6. There's about 12 of those kids.
He was over there loading melons the other day and came over there and talked to me. And he said he built this Jim Walter house.
His grandmother, Frances, deeded him an acre of land.
Yes.
And then he had the house built. I don't know who built it. I don't think it was Jim Walter. But
well,
one of those.
That type of house, yeah.
I can't say. Anyhow, Dixie Contract Investment Corporation, I think, owned the mortgage on it. But anyway, he didn't pay for it,
yeah.
And they foreclosed on it. And Plummy agreed to take it over.
Oh.
And she's been paying for
it. I imagine he makes enough to pay it, Robert.
Well, he don't stick at a job long enough. He's been working here, there, and everywhere.
Well, now he worked down at the mill.
Yeah, and he didn't. I went to see him about his job at the mill, and they said, well, he wasn't there that day, and he wasn't reliable. He never stayed at anything very long. He'd stay there a few weeks or a few months, and then he'd be going somewhere. Mm-hmm. And the last time I saw him, Bill Roberts was here this afternoon. Bill asked me to pay him some money. The last time I saw him, I paid him the money, and that's the last I've seen of him. But when he needs some more money, he'll be back here.
Yeah. Oh, this boy said he's got an old television. And the wiring was so light, it wouldn't run the TV. In the old Jim Walter house.
I don't know. Oh, you mean the electric wire?
Yeah.
Well... I don't even know whether it was wired or not. We more or less had to take care of Frances and look after her a lot. Ruth and I did for a long, long time. And she trusted a boy that she brought into this world as a midwife. She was a midwife here and took care of a lot of people, white people.
over here at this place, the Pauling place, where Doc Evans had owned for a while. And Dodd lives over there?
Yeah.
Maybe that's not the polling place.
I don't know.
Yeah. He's not a businessman, Dodd. He's a nice fella. And he's mechanical, you know. He can fix things. He went in and put in 50 acres of watermelons with this fella, Wilkinson.
Oh, Lord.
Well, now, here's the thing. Now, let me tell you. Let me tell you just briefly.
You haven't got that?
Oh, no.
You didn't have anything in writing with this Wilkinson?
Well, I don't imagine. You know, he's on
Wilkinson,
it.
Wilkinson doesn't have any on him. If Wilkinson hadn't kept his verbal contract, he doesn't have a leg to stand on.
No.
And Dodd can just trying to go jump in the lake because it's his land.
His land.
His fertilizer. And Wilkinson hadn't done his share. That same thing happened.
That's what I was thinking about.
All right, you know Jimmy Ramsden here.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Jimmy, his son was here a little while ago. They're going to have to break down the hills over there on the 200. Wilkinson, I told him, Don Skanks was alive then. Don was going in this watermelon racket. He was using Jimmy's land. And Don was cutting up this land, and I asked him what they were going to do, and he said, well, I'm going to plant watermelons. I said, you're going to plant watermelons? He said, yeah. I said, well, you've been planting squash and beans, and he and B.D. Rogers, you know, were together. I said, well, you're going to be planting squash and beans and whatnot. I said, now you're going to plant watermelons in there? He said, yeah. I said, you're going to use your irrigation equipment? He said, yeah. It was B.D.'s irrigation equipment. So, yep. I said, that's unusual for you to plant watermelons. He said, well, Wilkinson down here, he says that
Windsor.
He says he's going to go in with me. I said, does Mr. Ramsden know this? Oh, no, he said, but he told me it'd be all right to use the land. I said, he told you it'd be all right to use the land. He said, yeah. I said, well, I don't think he wants you to use the land for that purpose, but I said, when he comes up, I'll ask him. So I told Jimmy, I said, Jimmy, you got a no good son of a bitch over there. Exactly what I said. You got a no good son of a bitch over there planting watermelons. I said, you better go over there and stop it. Or get some kind of an ironclad agreement. Because the guy that's growing them is no good. Never was and never will be any good. I said, Commander had trouble with him. I said, everybody has trouble with him, no matter where he goes. I said, he's no good.
Doc Evans have trouble?
I don't know. So, Jimmy went over there. And Jimmy started looking around. And this guy was going up and down, you know, and throwing his weight around and putting an irrigation pipe and whatnot. And he looked at him and he says, can I do something for you? Jimmy said, no, you can't do anything for me. He says, he said, I just wondered what you wanted. He says, I don't want anything. He said, I wonder what the hell you want. He says, I happen to own this land. Oh, he says, well, you're the owner. Yes, he says, I'm the owner. He said, who gave you permission to plant these watermelons? He said, well, I'm in business with Don Skank. He said, well, I didn't give anybody any permission to plant watermelons here. Oh, well, he says, we're going to plant them. Jimmy said, you're going to plant them. He said, if I say so. Well, Jimmy went ahead like a damn fool with Don's gangs and left them plant them with the understanding that they were to break down the hills, you know. They mound
them
up.
Oh, yes, 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 yes.
The hills are still there. I'm worried now. They're going in there now. And they asked me about it. I had to go over there. I didn't feel like it, but I went over there. My side was hurting me pretty bad, but I went anyhow, and I went over there and looked at the tractor with a bush and bog, and I explained to them how they hit the middle of the hill and break it open and then go on each side and break it down and then cross it and crisscross it.